Some of the Jewish people have said, why did God choose us? Look at all the trouble and suffering that has been brought to us. Why didn't He choose somebody else? Well, I had a tremendous privilege, brothers and sisters. You only have I known above all the nations of the world. He actually came down and walked with them and talked with them. Came and walked with them and talked with them. They heard His voice on the mountain. Didn't see any form, Jesus said. But they heard His voice. And the guarantee of His personal presence. He said, I want to dwell with you and I want to walk with you. And the guarantee of that was the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud. What privilege! What opportunity! And the Lord said through Moses, now if you will go into the land and obey me, I will bless you. If you do not obey me in this covenant, I will curse you. He actually said, if you obey me, there will be no sickness in the nation of Israel. Any doctors or nurses here? Sorry, you wouldn't have a job. There would be no sickness. That's what He promised them, amongst many things. It was actually a re-establishment of the Garden of Eden again, the theocratic program of God, of bringing His kingdom visibly on earth. But they failed. And we find with the rejection of the offer of the kingdom and finally the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a hardening. They reject the Lord going about establishing their own righteousness. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Bible that God has given to man, not only is it a means of saving people, but it's also a means of condemning people. You know, when Paul went around preaching the gospel, he knew that his ministry and fellow apostles, fellow workers, was a savor of life to life or a savor of death to death. Say, so, well, I won't go around preaching the gospel because people will turn against the Lord and God will start hardening them and rejecting them. That's a spin-off. The emphasis of the preaching of the gospel is that there is the aroma and the perfume of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't remain neutral, brothers and sisters, in spiritual matters. Someone has said, the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit either makes people sad or glad. One or the other. Mad or glad. Response happens. You can't remain neutral. You can't meet the Lord Jesus Christ and ever be the same again. Matter of life and death. And so here the nation of Israel rejected the Lord, and there was the hardening. Difficult to understand. We're not in a position to say, oh, that person has been hardened by God. No, that's not our job. Some of the hardest people eventually have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of those that we've seen in our meeting, we've seen people out the front and bless them, come out the front weeping and weeping and weeping, and a few years later, don't see them anymore. That's not an indication. Not an indication. And finally, in Romans 11, we have this wonderful divine restoration previously being hardened. Let's have a look at this mystery and this deliverer. Now we're turning to Romans 11, 25, and we have Romans 11 open in front of you, please. Romans 11, 25, we've read this. Now let's have a look at some of these points here. We've put them up here. These are just highlighted points as we go through Romans 11, just to get the background of the hardening. This matter of the hardening of the nation of Israel, one of the great mysteries and secrets, is important. First of all, its importance. You see that there in Romans 11:25, he says, "Now, brethren," that is the congregation, brothers and sisters, "I do not desire you that you should be ignorant." You see that there. Please read it. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. This is important. The apostle desired that new covenant truth be received and be understood. And unfortunately, people are ignorant of it today in our churches. I wonder how many are fully conversant with what we're talking about today. Part of their thinking, part of their daily lives, part of their prayer life, conscious about this, of what's going on, of what God is doing. I remember driving, I love church billboards, and I love billboards of public and high school. I read them when I go past. Some of them are good, some of them are quite challenging. I like the one where you have the words CH blank blank CH. And underneath is, "What is missing? You are." Yeah, I like that one. Church bulletin. This is at Penshurst Girls High School. And it read this way: "There is no greater darkness than ignorance." There is no greater darkness than ignorance. And I thought, wow, that's good. I'm going to remember it. So I kept saying it over to myself until I got to the destination. And I didn't put it on my phone or anything like that. Text it on my phone. So when I got to my destination, I wrote it out. "There is no greater darkness than ignorance." Of course, they were saying, they would think, that it's dispelling ignorance by secularism, perhaps. Perhaps that was their angle. But it is true with the gospel and the word of God. Paul often says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about it." So he wrote about it. "I don't want you to be ignorant about this thing." What is it? "About this mystery, this secret, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." Ah, a bit of pride here. Paul's recognized the pride. I wonder how he found out about it. You see, he hadn't been to Rome. He's actually writing this letter. He said, I'm just waiting to come to you. I want to share something with you. You're going to share something with me," Romans 1, 7 and 8. "And then I want to go on to Spain." You know, the end of the world in those days almost, Spain and around to England, the British Isles. He said, I want to come to you. And I want to share this with you. I wonder how he found out that they are ignorant. He hadn't been there. He hadn't visited them. He didn't establish the church in Rome. Word must have got back. Something wrong with the Roman church, brother. Something wrong with the Roman church. The Gentiles are very, very proud. Gentile Christians are very, very proud in there. You know what they're saying? God got rid of the Jews so that we could get in. God broke off their branches in the olive tree. Romans 11, a little later. God broke off the branches in the olive tree to put us in. Superiority, pride. Paul said, be careful. You're not nourishing the root of the tree, the olive tree. Covenantal promises, patriarchal covenants, the source. But the root's looking after you. wild olive branches and Gentile believers. Salvation springs from the Jew. Jesus said that.